I'm glad I'm his. Amen. I like that song, I'm yours. Not only am I his, he's mine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like I said this morning, we've got access to everything heaven's got. Amen. We ought to be happy. As I was studying this afternoon, probably going to add me another point to the sermon this morning. You know, I thank God I'm saved. I thank God I'm secure. I thank God I'm satisfied, but I thank God I'm sanctified. Amen. I want to preach a little while tonight on what is the Holy Ghost's job. What is the Holy Ghost's job? You know, we quick, and I was talking about this with somebody this week, and y'all going to know what I'm talking about. If some churches you go to, you say the Holy Ghost, they get scared. I've always said the Holy Ghost. When I am referring to the third part of the Trinity, I very seldom ever say Holy Spirit. That's just the way I was raised. I was raised in churches where they were not afraid to talk about the Holy Ghost. Amen. They were not afraid to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now I'm not talking about three works of grace. That ain't got nothing to do with it. And I'll kind of get into that in a little bit. But Acts chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the choir, for Melissa singing. Thank you, God, for giving us a good day, Lord, a good time of practice with our church family, God, and just being able to come together, Lord. And, Lord, right now for the next few minutes, God, give me liberty. God, touch my mind. God, I pray, God, you would help us right now, Lord. You move right now, Lord, and whatever's done, we're going to make sure you get all the praise. You get all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What is the Holy Ghost? I heard a little story here a while back, kind of a little bit funny, but I'll tell you this, and then I'll kind of get into the message. It said this one man was up preaching, and somebody kept saying, "Preach him, Holy Ghost, preach him, Holy Ghost." And somebody asked him after church, said, "Well, what is the Holy Ghost?" So, "I don't know, but I know when he ain't got it." Amen. But you know when somebody gets in the pulpit, whether they got the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost on them or not. Amen. We know that. But what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the third part of the Trinity. When we look at the Trinity, if you look at our Constitution and bylaws, we believe in three parts of the Trinity. We believe in three persons of the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, which is what we call the Holy Ghost. We believe they're all three different entities, but they operate as one. Amen. And we understand that when we think about that. Well, another question. Where is the Holy Ghost? He's inside. Yeah. Amen. When you got saved, he came in and lived inside of you. Amen. Amen. You got to understand that. And what does the Holy I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I want to preach a little while on what the Holy Ghost's job is. So what does the Holy Ghost do for us? Once he takes abode on the inside, let me just go ahead and tell you something. A lot of people say, "Well, that's a conscience." No, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. When you start to do something and you hear that little voice inside, you say, "You ain't supposed to be doing that." That's him, amen. Because I'm telling you right now, Brother Tommy, before I got saved, I didn't have that. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Before you got saved, Benji, you didn't have nobody on the inside. I had somebody on the inside pushing me to do it. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Number one, he convicts. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 8, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteous and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteous because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." He convicts the lost. That's how you got saved. without the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost moving in your life under the sound of a preaching and you getting under conviction and you realizing that there's something wrong in my life and I got to get things right. Hey, that's what drove you to the altar that day, amen? When you got saved, that was the Holy Ghost. But not only does he convict the lost, he convicts the saved, amen? Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad that somebody on the inside of you telling you, don't touch this, don't go there, don't look at that, don't do this, don't do that. That is not your conscience, because I'm telling you right now, the Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked above all things. I know what's on the inside of me. I know how the old man is. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Convicting me and leading me and guiding me, amen? That's what his job is. Not only does he convict, he sanctifies. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Sanctification ain't nothing but you and I getting closer to God every day. If you're not closer to God right now than you was last year this time, there's something wrong. Amen. And tomorrow, next year this time, we are to be closer to God than we are now. And how does that work? The Holy Spirit moves. Preacher gets up and preaches, and the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, you got this area of your life that you could do better in. And the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you, and I'm just going to throw out suggestions. I'm not preaching against anything right now, okay? The Holy Spirit comes to you and says, listen, instead of watching TV so much, you could be reading your Bible. And so what you do, you turn the TV off a little more than normal, and you pick that Bible up a little more than normal. That's what the Holy Spirit, that is sanctification. That is you moving closer to God each and every day that you live. The Holy Spirit tells you, listen, you could be praying a little bit more. You could be praying a little bit more. Instead of listening to the radio going down the road, pray while you're going down the road. We those in the man cave, we hear David. David talks about it a lot, how that is his time in that car, in that truck, going down the highway to listen and pray and study and hear the commentaries. And that's what helps him when he gets in that Sunday school lesson that he's teaching in. And that's, you got to put it in to put it out. And that's what sanctification is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I hope you didn't think you got this far by yourself. I hope you didn't think he became that kind of a teacher by himself. I hope you didn't think he became that kind of a singer by himself. It's all God working in them, amen. I hope you didn't think that when God called me to preach, that I was preaching just like I am right now, because I was not. I'm just telling you, that's the Holy Ghost moving and helping and moving in our... The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfinished love and of the brethren, see that ye love one another with pure heart fervently. Let me say, I got saved almost 40 years ago. At the moment of salvation, I got all the Holy Ghost I was ever going to get. And for 40 years, the Holy Ghost has been trying to get all of me he could get. That is sanctification. Amen. See, the thing about it is, the more you get out of you, the bigger the Holy Ghost becomes inside you. Amen. That's sanctification. Also, he glorifies Jesus. That is his job, to glorify Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak and will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost always honors Jesus. So if you got anything that you're doing in your life that don't honor Jesus, guess what? It ain't of God. If you can't do it and honor Jesus through doing it, it's not of God. Anytime the Holy Spirit moves, it's always going to be lifting up Jesus. You know, I've said this before. I think every once in a while, we need to come down to this altar and we need to thank God and thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost moving in our lives. I know that's the third part of the Trinity, and I know he wants all glory to go to Jesus. We're supposed to lift up Jesus, because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh unto myself. Understand, so that the Holy Spirit is always going to lift up Jesus. So when you and I in our life, we're supposed to be lifting up Jesus. The whole testimonies that you give, lift up Jesus. I've told you this before, and I've tried to drive this home and drive this home and drive this home. Satan ain't going to tell you to stand up and praise the Lord. Satan will not tell you to stand up in church and give glory to God. Satan will not tell you to stand up in church and give any kind of praise to the Lord. So when anybody, if anything, Clint, you ought not sit on the front row, I'm going to pick on you. If there's anything in him saying you need to testify, you need to tell how God answered the prayers when you prayed and them boys got touched, and you need to, on your job, how God worked it out, Satan's not going to tell you to do that. That's the Holy Spirit moving on the inside of us and telling us how we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to stand up and glorify. The Bible tells us to quench not what? The Spirit. It don't say quench Jesus. It don't say don't quench the Lord. It says quench not the Spirit. Because I'm telling you, it's very sensitive. When you listen to the Spirit of God and you do what the Spirit of God tells you, things happen. But when you sit there like a bump on a pickle and you don't do what the Spirit of God telling you, I'm telling you right now, Chuck, it'll shut right down. Now, I'm gonna say something, okay? And y'all going to understand what I'm saying. There have been people in church before that ain't had no clue what the Holy Spirit was. They'd stand up at times and wanna blurt out stuff in the service that ain't had nothing to do with God. That ain't what I'm talking about. We need to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. I'll just give you this example, and I've told you this before. When I'm sitting on the front row, and I know David's seen it and Robert's seen it, and some of these that I'm sitting on that front row and the Lord's dealing with me about changing my message. I'm praying the whole time. I am praying. I said, Lord, if it's your will for me to change this message, you want me to, Lord, you let David do this. I'm specific with it because I want to make sure that I'm not the one. And I'm telling you, folks, we need to be very sensitive to the Spirit. When you're standing at Walmart, I've told you this before, when you're standing at Walmart, be sensitive to the Spirit. Satan is not going to tell you to invite somebody to church. Well, I'm telling you right now, Lord, I'm going to pray about this, and if it's your will, no. It's always God's will for you to praise him. It's always God's will for you to invite people to church. Amen. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. It glorifies Jesus. It also delivers and it heals. Amen. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. No one in the Bible ever did anything without the Holy Ghost empowering them. Go back to the Old Testament. I was just watching a movie just this week about Samson, and I don't know about if y'all have seen the newer movie that came out just a few years ago about Samson. They anytime something would happen, Brother Robert, anytime the Holy Spirit would come upon him, you would see his hands starting to shake. Now they had him build up as a big old monstrous Arnold Schwarzenegger looking thing. I don't believe that Samson was like that. I've said this before. I believe Samson was a regular man. But I believe when the Holy Ghost got a hold to him, amen. The Bible says he snatched the gates of the city of Gaza off and carried him up the hill, amen. The Bible says he killed thousands with the jawbone of an ass. The Bible says he killed a lion. I'm just telling you that the Holy Spirit would come upon him. The Bible talks about it in the Old Testament, how that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and come upon them. But when the New Testament, when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit moved in and started, made residence on the inside. That's why when Apostle Paul went around and Apostle Paul got to preaching, the Holy Ghost just started moving on the inside of it. That's how people were saved. That's how people were healed. That's how demons were cast out of people, because of the Holy Ghost and what God was doing on the inside. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Anyone that's ever been delivered got delivered through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Anybody that's ever been saved, you got saved with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He also empowers. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. That word power there comes from the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. Let me tell you something, folks. I've said it before. We got more access to more power than most of us have, can even realize. And we don't use what we got. What could Wes do if he was engulfed with the Holy Ghost? What could Tommy do if Tommy was engulfed in the Holy Ghost? What could you do if you were so full of the Holy Ghost that you just couldn't stand it anymore? I heard a story one time, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but that's all right. Heard a story one time about a young man that he was looking up to this old preacher, and he asked this old preacher, he said, "Do you remember when you got filled with the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Oh, yeah. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost." He said, "You do?" He said, "Yes, sir. I can take you to the place." He said, "Can you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Take me." He said, "You want to go?" He said, "Take me to the place." He said, "Get in the car." They got in the car, Dale, and drove up to the bottom of this mountain. He said, "All right, follow me." They get out the mountain for about 30 minutes. They start climbing this mountain, Wes. They climbing this mountain, going up through briars and everything like that. And the guy said, are we getting close to that place?" He said, "Yeah, it won't be much further." So about 30 more minutes, they climb the mountain. They just steady climbing this mountain. I'm talking about a mountain. They ain't going up no hill. He said, "We got to be getting closer." He said, yeah, we're getting closer. Just a little bit further. About 30 more minutes, they washed down in sweat. He said, "I can't go no further. I got to have the Holy Ghost right now." He said, "That's the spot right there where I was at." Amen. When you get where you can't go no further, and you get where you realize you've got to have him, and you get where you realize you can't do it on your own, and you get where you realize, hey, there ain't nothing good in you, hey, but it's all through Jesus Christ, and it's all through the Holy Ghost moving on the inside of you, then you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. It refreshes. The Bible talks about refreshing. To recover, it gives you a second wind. You ever been having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month? Amen. And you come to church and it seems like everything just kind of settled down and everything just fell right into place. And it's like every song was talking to you. And it's like the Sunday school lesson was right at your house. And when the preacher got up, you thought he was sitting in your living room the night before watching everything that you were doing. And the Holy Ghost just got to speaking to you and how that you got on an altar. And when you got off the altar, things just, hey, the same situations was going on, but it just looked different. That's him. That's him. He renews. He brings revival, amen. I don't know about you. I've told this before. This time of year, when our Easter play rolls around, thank God for Preacher Todd. Preacher Todd did an awesome job preaching our revival services. But this time of year, in this church, that Easter play does more to revive our people than anything else. Because we get excited. We get excited, amen. We come together on Sunday afternoon instead of laying around at 5:30. Preach, preacher. It's the truth. I'm just saying it's the truth. A lot of us been out here since 4 o'clock. We ready to have church, glory to God. And I'm telling you, we don't come sliding in at 10 minutes till. And I'm just telling you, we're excited. And the closer we get to that play, the more exciting it gets. The more this thing comes together, the more exciting it gets. I mean, right now, we're just kind of going through the scenes. Everybody's kind of getting their lines together. Everybody's just kind of meshing together. And in just a few weeks, hey, all the scenery is going to be in place. All the microphones are going to be in place. The band's going to be set up. And everything's going to start cranking up. And I'm just telling you right now, when everything gets cranked up that Thursday night, when we have that dress rehearsal, then that Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, I'm telling you right now, we're going to come together so good, and the Holy Ghost is going to be so strong. Hey, we're going to blow that building all to pieces up there. And it's like that every year. Let me just tell you something, folks. It don't have to quit after Easter. It don't have to quit after Easter. Because the same Holy Ghost is going to be with us Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night before Easter is the same ones that's going to be here Wednesday night. It's the same ones that's living inside you right now. And all you got to do is cultivate him and turn him loose. That's his job. That's his job. Amen. If you would bow your heads. Maybe there's somebody tonight you just want to come to the altar.